Good morning, everybody. Good morning instead of good evening. It's so good to see you guys all here today. We got our special guest. We got Julie Green on with us today. Julie, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you, gentlemen, today?
Blessed and highly favored.
Amen. Thank you for having me on your show once again.
Absolutely. Chris, how are you this morning? You're muted.
It wouldn't be a show without me muting myself. I'm great, Israel. I'm perfect.
This is awesome.
I'm excited. It's always good to have you, Julie.
Absolutely.
It's good to be on. It's good to tell the truth, and it's good to know the truth, that the truth sets people free. And it's so amazing to be able to see all the people that God is bringing together for this time. When the enemy meant to divide, we are uniting, and it's pretty powerful to see what God is doing through so many people.
It is. Yeah, we've been talking about this quite a bit. You see so much chaos nowadays, and it's always been like this. It's just, it's being revealed, and now demonic forces are raging even harder, and the spirit of Pythos is dying, and this is why we see so much chaos. And it's, I think I heard you say this morning that, you see that, or no, it was right before this, how it's more enjoyable now that you're seeing everything, their plans fall apart, yeah, and everything like that. So it is a good time to be alive. I just really encourage people to get in the word and be more a part of Jesus, because if you don't have that spirit telling you that what he's speaking to all of us, mm-hmm, it could look like a very stressful time, very stressful time.
Yeah, I think a lot of Christians can be that way. And, you know, because they're looking at all the problems and they're not looking to God. And this is a great time to be alive. And God is showing us things. And God has given us many different prophetic words. He's given us his written word. And God will always give hope, no matter all the doom and gloomers and the naysayers and stuff. God is a God of hope. I mean, he is. And he'll always give us his desired end result, and that's our victory. So, you know, God is going to protect us. He is delivering us. And I think that's why it's so fun to see, is that he put the enemy on center stage for their complete destruction.
Right.
And, you know, it's just like, they think they got what they want, and God's like, no, you didn't. I got what I want, because I'll always get what I want, because God is, he's El Elyon. He's the creator of heaven and earth, and he is the Most High God. And, you know, they can't do anything about it.
Absolutely. Nope. Absolutely.
Well, these days they'll learn.
Maybe.
I don't think so. I think they've been trying for so long. You know, it's like me and Iz talk about all the time. When you read the Bible and you see that they keep trying, it's like they try the same tactics, this spirit, because it's spiritual.
Yeah.
And it keeps trying to do the same thing over and over and over. And they're hoping that at some point they'll be able to one-up God, and it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
There's nothing new under the sun, and also the enemies are always defeated, and I don't know how he does not figure that out. He was defeated since he was thrown out of heaven, and with him and all of the other angels that came out with Lucifer, and they've always tried to overthrow God. They've always tried to destroy God's people, and it's never worked out. But pride comes before a fall. And you see how the enemies are becoming more and more prideful, it seems like, by the day, you know, just like they did over Easter weekend, what they were celebrating and mm-hmm, not what we were celebrating, the true meaning of resurrection, the true meaning. I mean, I don't say Easter. Usually I say resurrection, because of the goddess Esther. And that was just a pagan thing. But, you know, right, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And at the same time, they were, you know, using these things like with trans and trans visibility day, and that's like a slap in God's face, and they were mocking him. And mm-hmm, that's when we know that something's going to happen, because the leaders of any free world, you know, that one person that came out again, I don't remember what, if it was Iran or Iraq, he came out against Jerusalem or against Israel, and he died within that very speech, coming out against Israel. So God's not going to be mocked, and you can't do what you're doing and think you're going to get away with it when you're out that much against the Lord. And the greatest celebration in our history is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And, you know, besides his birth, and you're going to mock that, that's something that they're going to have to pay for sure.
Yeah, that was a big thing for me when I seen that. I not only do you see the panic and the fear in all of them, but they had to go out of their way to mock them. But at the same time, like you said, these people, they continue to stumble and fall around every corner. And mm-hmm. with that being said, this was just another one of those things. And this was a big one, I feel like, that opened a lot of people's eyes in itself. Like the clear mock and slap against Jesus. And it was, I think that alone has upset a lot of people and opened a lot of eyes just in the last few days, for sure.
Yeah, and you have the coming solar eclipse. You have God's warnings. You have all these things that he's been talking about. We know that the closer we get to this election, the more intense things are going to get, because you see they're caught in a trap. They're caught in a corner. And there is no way out of this mess for them. And so when you see the desperation grow in them, you will see them do more things against us. But that's the reason why, guys, like, we've been in boot camp. You know, I mean, truly, we truly have been in a spiritual boot camp with God showing us, hey, you're in my army. You're in the army of the Lord. I'm commander in chief. Pay attention. I got you covered and everything's going to be all right. And I have equipped you. I mean, you know, you guys were in military, and I know when you guys went out, you were equipped in order to do battle. You were equipped in order to do what you needed to do. Well, if man will do that, why wouldn't God do the same thing for us when he tells us we are in a battle? He says, fight the good fight of faith. Well, why would he tell us to fight the good fight of faith? Why would he tell us to walk by faith and not by sight and do all these things if he didn't give us the ability to do it? Mm-hmm. And so being in the army of the Lord, he's telling us never surrender. He's telling us we're called to arms. He's telling us, hey, there is a battle, and the battle is the Lord's. And all I need you to do is to believe and trust in me. And our battle is not giving up. Our battle is not quitting. Our battle is in the mind, to the point where people are just get discouraged. They get overwhelmed. That is your part of it. And God is saying, I've taken care of the rest. I just need you to rest and trust in me. And everything that I promised, I said I would do in my word that he would do. And so that's our part. So he's equipping us, and he's changing our course of action. I mean, I know boot camp was probably not very fun for you all, right?
Oh, I had a blast.
Loved it.
No.
So from asking you guys that, boot camp isn't fun. It's changing your mindset. It's mm-hmm. changing you into being a person that's going to have to fight. It's changing how you see things. It's changing the way you respond to everything. Well, that's what God's doing in this spiritual boot camp. It's not always fun. I mean, there are some things that I would rather, I'm like, okay, Lord, I would rather not have done with that. You know, I'd rather not deal with that right now. But it's a spiritual boot camp that we're in that God is training us. And we know that when we come out of this boot camp and we go into that battle, I mean, we're going to know how to fight. We're going to know how to fight the right way to win.
To win. To win. Win. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hear the sounds of great victory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yes. We are winning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are winning. We are winning. It's just, you know, it's most of the time we want to be pulled out of the situation. But as a nation, we become so stubborn and falling asleep at the wheel. Now he has to push us through it. But most of the time, that's what he does anyway. It helps us build our character. It helps us become humble again. It helps us renew our minds and make sure this stuff doesn't happen again, at least to the remnant.
He's changing our course of action as a nation. Our our actions as a nation have become lazy, complacent, entitled. And I'm not saying that about us. I'm just saying in general.
Right.
And they turned away from God. Morality is at an all-time low. I don't know if we've ever seen anything. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. I never thought I would see anything like this.
No.
But, you know, it's funny because even it says in God's word that the elect would be deceived and that in the last days, good will be perceived as evil and evil as good. And we're seeing that. You're seeing people mock God and mock Easter or Resurrection Sunday at the same weekend. President Trump was promoting the Bible, and he was being mocked for promoting the Bible.
Yes, he was.
I'm like, well, what? Okay, you're mocking him by the blasphemy that you're coming out of your mouth in the days that you're celebrating. Because apparently their excuse was, this has always been celebrated since like 2009 or something. Well, it wasn't acknowledged. They just happened to acknowledge it on Easter Sunday. Out of all the years they've acknowledged it, they didn't acknowledge it until it was on Easter. That was a slap in God's face. But anyway, good is being perceived as evil right now, and evil is being perceived as good. And that's why us as the elect of Jesus Christ have to know what is really good and what is really evil, and not be deceived by all the things that they are, you know, portraying in this world and what they're trying to put our nation on a course of destruction. And that's why God said it was going to shake politically, civilly, economically, and naturally. And that doesn't seem fun. It's something that's not going to be pleasant. But at the same time, God's saying, hey, you're supposed to celebrate. You're supposed to shout. And it's just like, well, you just told me it's supposed to shake. Everything's going to change. But it's changing for our good. And that's what we have to be focused on.
Amen. Amen. So before we continue, Julie, would you do us the honors and open this thing up in some prayer?
Yes. I was going to say, I'm sorry. I should have done that.
You're good. Okay. No worries.
So Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just want to lift up this entire broadcast to you. And Father God, we thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad. And I thank you, Father God, for blessing Alphabet, for blessing this channel, Father God, and blessing everything they put their hand onto. And every person that's watching, Father God, we thank you that you are our refuge, that you are our protector, that you are our victory, that you are our healer, that you are our provider. So we thank you, Father God, in this boot camp that we are in, even though it may be uncomfortable, even though that we are seeing things we choose and would rather not to see, but you are showing us a great and mighty victory. You are showing us how strong we are in you. And we thank you, Father God, that we are in the army of the Lord and we are not to be messed with, because the enemies are losing and they will soon see that you are the Most High God and there is no one greater than thee. And we thank you, Father God, for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yep. We were, last night we were talking about the fact that, yeah, it was actually Obama in 2009 that made that day. It was Obama who lit up the White House in the rainbow colors, but they went out of their way this year. I mean, they could have just let it be, but no, he had to sign a proclamation. I hereby proclaim March 31st. Like, they went out of their way to focus on that. And all day, our government, no mention of Jesus. They went out of their way to slap him down. And I was like, I never thought I would see this.
And the little kids on Easter, for their Easter, you know, thing, their egg roll or whatever they call it, wasn't even on Easter Sunday like it always is. It was the following day. And they were told not to put any religious designs on the Easter eggs.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm like, well, then what are you celebrating then? Eggs? And I think he said oyster instead of like he normal did. Eggs. He said oysters. He and I was like, what?
That was another thing. Biden came out and said he didn't even do it.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he
but said it's that. His name signed on it.
Well, I have a feeling somebody else probably signed it for him.
Oh, okay. He ain't doing anything. He's not doing
it. So he probably was right when he said it wasn't me, because it wasn't him. It was probably somebody who just signed his name and just made that, you know darn well he ain't going to be Twittering or truthing. He ain't gonna be, he's not putting stuff on social media. There's like a lot of times, like I have a social media team that puts stuff on social media for me. You know, I'm sure he's got a team of social media people that put stuff up, and I'm sure they just did it. You know, it's probably Obama or somebody that told him to say that, and that's what happened.
Yep. Right, and even I think it was a couple months ago, Biden's account on X, Twitter, whatever.
Yeah.
It KJP, the press secretary or the former whatever, whoever it is now. Yeah. She posted on her Twitter a message as Biden, and then it got instantly deleted. And because people called her out, and they're like, so this is who's tweeting behind Biden's account, is is her. And so we know Biden's not doing anything other than eating ice cream and
taking a nap,
calling the lid by 9 a.m. yeah.
I mean, it really is. I'm thinking, I'm like, Lord, and I'll say this one day because, you know, I've heard a lot of prophetic words on it. And I'm like, Lord, they could have picked anybody. Why would they pick somebody who has not a brain that's functioning and who has dementia? I mean, I don't understand, because naturally or common sense wise, it's pretty stupid. You would want to pick a strong person to go against a strong person.
You know,
they picked the weakest person besides Kamala to go up against Donald Trump. I don't even know how to, it doesn't make sense.
Two of the worst people. And that was what you chose. And that alone shows me that maybe something else happened, or maybe God has a sense of humor in this case. And he's like, watch this. But
why would the one with the double mind, right? Why would the one with the double mind address the nation?
A double-minded man can't receive anything from the Lord. And obviously we know he can't, but I also think that he may have only had certain things before when they did pick him, because he was a yes man. And they were just blackmailing him anyway, mm-hmm. but he's fallen dramatically. That was part of the prophetic word that the Lord gave, you know, a couple of years ago, how he said he was going to start falling and mentally decline in cognitive ability and functionality quicker than they ever thought that would possibly happen. And so part of that is part of the curse. You can't steal something. And in order to be in that presidency, you really truly need to be anointed, because look at all the people who have been in that seat who have aged horribly bad in the 8 years that they were there. Look at Trump. Look at President Trump.
Getting younger.
He looks younger and brighter. He looks happier than he's ever been. I have never seen anybody as being a president, and as much as he's been fighting for that presidency, he looks better than he did when he first went in.
He's glowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is glowing.
Anointing.
I think that's the anointing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. God's got him covered.
Well,
it's been amazing.
When you talk about Biden, you said it. Obama's job was to usher in the destruction of America. Hillary was going to be the mop-up crew. Mm-hmm. So now all this is revealed, it makes sense why he picked Joe Biden. Because if you're going to destroy the country, you got to have somebody right by your side that's just as corrupt and will just do whatever you say, because he was doing stuff too.
Yeah.
So
he's a fall guy.
Yeah, he is the fall guy. You said that this morning. Fall guy.
Yeah. You know, I did. But the Lord, you have to think of Obama and Biden. Obama, we know, is running the show. I mean, anybody with common sense knows that. But he put somebody in there that he doesn't like. And I was always wondering, like, why would he put somebody that he doesn't like to do the job that he's doing? And it's like, because he's the one, he didn't want to put somebody that was going to be well-liked by him, because they're going to get more backlash and more criticism from the nation than anybody. They're going to get more crap from the nation than any other president, because all the destruction he's doing. So he didn't care that Biden is getting the fall for this. He doesn't care that Biden is getting ripped, you know, from here and, you know, to the end of the world for doing what he's doing to this nation, because he doesn't care about him. So that makes sense of reason why they're so divided. And when Obama went in, I don't know what party they were having. Remember when they went in and Obama was there and Biden was trying to get everybody's attention and everybody was ignoring him?
Yeah, I do remember that.
That was purposely done to let him know who was really in control and not to get too big of a head and, you know, not to get too arrogant, because Obama was the one really running the show. And it was kind of like a blatant, obvious slap in the face of the United States of America and all of the citizens that we know who was actually doing it. And it was actually Obama and not Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's I still want to see hear the question asked to Obama. How does he feel about Joe Biden getting 81 million votes? Breaking his record. I mean, obviously we know it's all a lie, but I just want to see his face. I just want to see his face.
We know the record didn't, it wasn't broken.
Right.
Because if it would, he would have an issue.
That is true. Right. He would.
And okay, what do you guys think about all the stuff with the cargo ships?
I'm glad that's the exact subject I was hoping we would segue into, because I posted your prophecy from a year ago.
Yep.
Right after that happened, I went and found it, and it was on March 2nd of 2023, and you said a bridge is going to collapse, a critical bridge is going to collapse. This is no accident, and those who did it will be, it'll be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as it, I know there were a lot of us who watch you like that. I was like, I thought you had just said, I was like, I know she said something about this. And to for it to be almost a year prior in mm-hmm. March.
Yeah.
And that's a key bridge like that. You had a lot of people saying, oh, nobody died. It's not a terror. It wasn't about killing anybody. It was about infrastructure. No. It's critical infrastructure. And we've all seen the video. That wasn't an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even the whole bridge itself. So it's the ninth most crucial port
yep.
for the U.S. But not only that, just a couple days prior, Trump was talking about how there's going to be a rise in the auto industry once it gets back. And that's been prophesied by Kim and many others as well. But at the same time, and then all of a sudden this bridge goes down. Well, this is the number one auto port in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost symbolic to the deep state. And also it messes with the supply chain. I mean, they're clearly doing everything they can to bring down the country without making it look so in a sense. But at the same time, I mean, I don't even understand how this thing's still operating.
You know, with my husband and Chris was in the car business for like 26 years. And, you know, there was already suffering because of COVID. And then it really came back from that because of the chip shortages and, you know, whatever the excuse that they were being for not, you know, building the cars that they were building and not the supplies weren't on the ground. So it was a lot harder to sell cars because you didn't have the supply coming from the manufacturer. So you didn't have the supply coming from the manufacturer. Then you didn't have the used cars traded in and so on and so forth. So it was already hit really hard. And then you have this happen. Again, mm-hmm. that was not an accident. It was blatant, it's obvious. And 3 hours later, there was it self-combustion or whatever it was? It was an explosion underneath of a bridge in Ohio, in Independence, Ohio. It was a Star Spangled Banner Bridge. Then you have Independence, Ohio. And then only just over the weekend, there was a barge that mm-hmm. hit another pylon of another bridge.
Yeah, in Oklahoma. Think about it,
that's three bridges in a week. And God said, watch the waters. He's been saying, watch the harbors, because that's another prophecy about a harbor, about a main harbor that was going to be in the news. Well, Baltimore, that's a main harbor. Right. And then he talked about cargo ships. Well, there was a cargo ship. He talked about barges. Well, there was a barge. There are so many. That one prophecy or prophecies, because the Lord had talked about many different things when it comes to the ships and the waters and the bridges, because he's mentioned bridges more than once. And he's been talking about how sabotage. He's been talking about what they're doing against our supply chain. Like you said, the vehicles. This is going to cause more of a damage. My husband just reading it over the weekend, causing more of a damage of supply to this country that people are not realizing. So what does that happen? If you don't have enough of supply, then there's more of inflation. There's more increase in the price of vehicles. And then if you have a greater price in vehicles, then people can't buy vehicles. And if you have people that can't buy vehicles, then you have always, it goes back to finances. It goes back to keeping people, they're sabotaging our airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
God talked about airplanes. He talked about the waters. He talked about the sky. He's talked about all these different things. Why? 15-minute cities.
Yep.
You have a car. They're making it harder for you to buy a car or have EV and then have some, you know, big, huge storm come out like it happened over the winter. And they couldn't like even plug in their cars.
Yeah. It's out of their own mouth. You'll own nothing and you'll like it.
And there you go.
This is their plan from the beginning. And people just think that it's an accident. Well, everything. Look at all the chaos that's been happening, and everyone's—I shouldn't say everyone, but so many people want to chalk it up to an accident. Mm-hmm. But it's not. We've never seen anything like this before, at least not in my lifetime.
And on that ship, there was 1.8 million gallons of fuel.
Yep.
So, from what I've heard from a birdie, and I don't know for sure, you know, but that was supposed to cause an explosion.
Mm.
And it
makes sense. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me one bit. But even that old Kim Clement prophecy said that the auto industry will rise and the enemies of America will say, why does America still prosper? Mm-hmm. So you can see what God is going to do. You can see their plans and what they're trying to do. But we also know that God is going to do a quick turnaround. And again, he can do anything in one day. One day.
Okay.
That's all it takes.
Quick turnaround. What do they do against Trump? They were taking him out by that whole $400 ridiculous million-dollar bond. And then you had the same day, so you have the appellate court or whatever, the appeals court came out and said, okay, I'm going to slash it down to $175 million, which is still absurd. And then you get another 10 days. Then in the same time where they think they were already like just foaming at the mouth. They were so excited because they were going to get they were going to get Trump Tower and they were going to seize all these properties. And they were so excited. They were just literally celebrating all over. You could see it. They were all celebrating. Oh, Letitia James was just out there just saying all this stupid, idiotic stuff and how she was excited. She was going to get this. And she had that ticker, you know, that ticker that he was owing more and more money every day. And then all of a sudden, you know, they call him Broke Don. Well, then now he's worth more money than he was before. And it's like, go God. He's like, yeah, no, you don't. So and I'm using that as an example with President Trump, just when they thought they had him, they were going to take him out financially. They were going to break him, bankruptcy. They were going to seize all of his properties. And God's like, I don't think so. And it was just like, he just started laughing. He's just like, boop. And it was just like, he got lower things with that bond, lower money. And then all of a sudden now he's worth more money. So it's like, that's God. So even though they're trying to take out our car industry, they're trying to take out our ports. They're trying to take us down socially, financially, civilly, whatever it is. And God's going to do that. He's been like, nope. And it's going to turn around. That's God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Trump. Absolutely. Trump is broke was all over Twitter. The hashtag Trump is broke. And I'm like, no, he's not. No, he's not.
God said, all this like 2 or 3 years ago, I think 2 years ago, he said everything that he has lost for the sacrifice of this country, he was going to get it back.
Right.
And even this now has more money than he did before he went in to be president. So I think when he was going to be president, it was either worth $5 or $6 billion. And then he lost half of his fortune when he was president. Mm-hmm. And then God brought it all back in a day.
See, that's what I love, because it's like, we have God's David in running the country. What let's just call it the actual Republic of the nation. So like what you just said, he lost a bunch of his wealth during all this chaos, and in one day it all flipped around. And I think that is the perfect example of what he's doing for this nation.
Yep.
And obviously Trump, he deserves to get all his restoration, and he is leading the helm. So yes, God turned around for him already, and he's been with him the whole time. But at the same time, I think it is the perfect symbolism of what God can do for each and every one of us in this time, because restoration, we're going to get back everything that they stole from us. And I know you've talked about it of things in the past, like everything that we've been through this corporation and them just continually taking money, tax on this, on tax, on tax, on tax, inflation, everything. And this is heading into this system. You know, we talk to people all the time in regard to this fiat system.
Yeah.
But God doesn't want this fiat system. It is their wealth, their power of wealth. It is how they run things, is this fiat system. So that's got to go. It has to go. And people are like, well, why would you want the fiat system to fall? Like, because it's all fake.
Yep.
It's everything about it is fake. So when people see the markets coming down, the dollar coming down, I mean, in 1997, we had 50% of our purchasing power. We're down, or 55 cents of our dollar. We're down to 3 cents. Yeah. We had $4 trillion in debt in 97. Now we have 34 trillion, 100 trillion or a trillion every 100 days. This is way unsustainable. And the fact that all of this, do you see like all this coming to this converging, you know, the financial system exposure? Do you see this all coming just to the same climax?
All of it. Yeah. Because again, God said it was a Babylonian system. It's a system without him. And when you have a godless system and it's evil and he said, call it demonic, you have a system that is enslaved his people, literally enslaved them in every way, shape or form. We didn't even know. We thought this was normal. We thought this was good. You know, we thought, you know, we're just unstoppable and whatever. No, again, it's not sustainable. And God is, he allowed them to do this for their fall. Just like he allowed Pharaoh for his. And even, and I keep going back because God keeps going back to Egypt. That's what happened to them. You had their financial system. You have them. They were the greatest nation on the planet. Most powerful. And God destroyed them in a day. Literally a day. And financially. Financially, the Egyptians had to hand over every belonging that was due to his people. It was a transfer of wealth. And so God keeps talking about depleting them of their resources. What is their resources? If they have all the financial system and all the money in the world, and there's no limit, because they just keep, like, look what they did the other day. They passed another trillion some dollar stupid spending bill package, whatever. And so there wasn't a government shutdown. Let the government shut down. I don't care. I don't care if the government shuts down. Why? So they stop giving our tax money to the illegal immigrants. So stop giving our tax money to Ukraine. So stop giving our tax money to Iraq and Iran to start killing us. Why would we want them to keep functioning? Why would we want this fiat system to keep going when this fiat system was meant to enslave us to a point where we can't sustain our own lives and we can't pay for anything? That's why you have this fiat system. And now all of a sudden you have inflation. I mean, seriously, the inflation for stuff is the most ridiculous thing I have ever seen. To buy eggs, we have a family of five. And just to go to the grocery store, not even get a whole entire, like, you know, cart of groceries, is like $300.
Yeah, it's wild.
And I'm not even really buying meat. That's just buying stuff. Not even meat. Because I have a lot of meat. So it's like, I don't have to go out and buy that expensive stuff. So I'm just talking about normal, everyday things. And I'm going, we can't even get out of here without spending $300. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, inflation itself is a second income tax. Yes. Is what they've calculated out to. So you get taxed twice on income tax a year, but people don't even see it. They think inflation is just, it's induced tax on purpose. They do it on purpose, but people don't understand that. They just think this is how it goes. But then again, your purchasing power, everything gets worse and worse because what do? They sit there and they print. And there's so many interesting things coming down the wire because not only like the Fed, they ended their bank term funding program, but at the same time, they're allowing these banks to come at a discount window.
Yep.
And in 2007, this is exactly what they did before the meltdown. Well, that's when the system died. And we've just been dealing with a Band-Aid. And so we originally thought like 40 to 50% like market correction. Man, people are talking 85 to 90% now because of how bad they are. I mean, the S&P just did an outlook where they cut the rates they cut the outlook of 9 different banks. They said 20% of banks are in failure territory, but we haven't seen it yet.
Wow.
I mean, New York Community Bank, when they went under in March, what made them go?
Under in March?
New York Community Bank.
Last March.
Last
March. I don't think I heard that one.
It was the end of February?
Yeah.
Yeah, this year.
I didn't hear about it.
Yeah. So they because what they did, they're the ones that took in, Chris, what was the bank? What bank
signature
did they
take in?
Signature Bank from last March. So they took in all those toxic assets. Well, okay. All these other banks did too, just like UBS took in Credit Suisse. It took in all these toxic assets. So when the quarter four report came out for New York Community Bank, they lost over $260 million in that quarter alone. And so that was just it. It was already happening, but it wasn't until the report came out is when they went under, and they've been struggling ever since. And this is all the banks. So even after the first quarter reports come out, which should be the end of April, May-ish,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but I would expect a lot of these banks to have terrible reports and see a lot of them go under.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, because that's what the Lord's been prophesying about. He said banks were going to go bankrupt. He also said that corporations were going to go under. And he said, of course, you know, you're looking at a society in a whole. Okay. You're looking at the entertainment industry falling apart right now. Mm-hmm. You're looking at banks, apparently, because I didn't know some of these. I knew there was banks that had fallen. Because God, mm-hmm. again, God had prophesied this. So somebody, you know, my team has shared this with me, some of it. I did not know about this last one. But we have all these things culminating at the same time. It's like kind of like a volcano erupting.
Mm.
You know, right before the magma chamber is just about to blow, okay? Because you can start feeling there's rumblings, there's shakings, things are starting. I mean, scientists will know. They just know. They can see, they can foresee. They may not know exactly when that volcano is going to erupt. They just know that volcano is going to erupt because there's signs of it erupting. Or you have, you know, seismologists or whatever they're called that look up with earthquakes and things. And they know with it, the more uptake in earthquakes, they can see with the with that area that if it's going to be, if it's right for like a big one, a big, huge earthquake. They know that with the shaking that's going on, with the shakes, you know, the earthquakes, the smaller ones, whatever. They can tell it's about to erupt. Well, same thing is going on in our country. You have the perfect storm, which God has called it more than once. Mm. You have the perfect storm on everything. And then at the same time, you have the perfect storm on everything. God's been warning us about 2024. Now, he said it's the year we've been waiting for. And you're like, God, why are we waiting for this? Well, he said, when all of this happens, that's when you know that the enemy's demise is going to take place. So you have all these things culminating, and then you have an eclipse.
Right.
And that eclipse is very significant. You have an eclipse that has Nineveh in seven different cities, which Nineveh needed to turn around and repent.
Right.
Well, I think when God is saying there's seven cities in Nineveh and that earthquake, only seven cities in the world are named in Nineveh right now. And it's going through all of them. You think that God is getting our attention, that this country needs to repent and turn back.
We do.
And really, you have our, you know, resident in chief there who had just proclaimed Trans Day for the, mm-hmm. you know, Easter. And then you have this warning of Nineveh. It's a turning around or turning back to God. Mm-hmm. And we need all in this nation take it seriously that we need to pray that this nation fully turns back to God. Not part way, not all the way, but what happens when people get desperate? God said he was bringing this nation to its knees.
Yes, he
did. When you think of banks, you think of, you know, natural disasters, you think of political, you think of civilly, because, you know, you got the open borders. You think of all these things and you're looking like, okay, Lord, what does this mean? Obviously, he said everything that can be shaken will be. This will get the attention of this country, and it should get the attention of the world.
In a good way. I mean, I don't see how it would. I mean, me and Chris, we did a show on the Roman Empire and how it looks very similar to us nowadays. Now, I mean everything from currency and everything. The financial system was exactly what they did in the end of the Roman Empire. It's what they did in the French Revolution. And they all didn't end well.
Nope.
For the Roman Empire and a lot of these people. So this is, it's very interesting to see how this is all playing out. But even with this eclipse, we've talked about it as well, and we see all these state of emergencies that are already being declared throughout all these cities, and it's super odd. And we're just like curious, is the deep state going to try and do some false flag during this time as to distract people from other things?
I don't know. And they're state of emergency, jump people out to travel, jump people to stay home. They're canceling schools. And I just seen this morning, the blood banks are requesting more people to give blood. It's under an emergency. It's important that more people give blood in this time. And I'm like, okay, that's odd. Now, you're saying state of emergency. It's an eclipse. And everybody gets excited about it. People have eclipse parties or whatever, and they all get together. You know, I remember in school, we were all so excited. We had our little 3D glasses, whatever they were. And, you know, we were excited about it. I remember that we got to go outside on the playground, and we got to, you know, we got to get out of school. So that was a fun thing for us. We didn't have to, you know, do certain classes. So we got to go outside. Now, this is a long time ago. I'm not giving away my age, but it was a long time ago. And we got to sit there and have this. It was like a party. You know, it was fun. It was so fun to see this. And God is saying, well, I give signs in the sun, and I give signs in the moon, and I give signs in the stars. And you have the devils come and sit in the atmosphere in the same sky as you have this eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
Not coincidental.
Nope.
But this is not different. I tell people this every day, and I know you guys hear it, but I'm telling everybody's like, well, why are you so happy if all these bad things are going to happen? I'm going, because God's bringing the enemies down. He said, we're in the land of Goshen and we're protected. So I'm cool. Like, I'm just like, okay, God, you just do your thing. And I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to celebrate. And I'm just going to thank you. I'm going to thank you for your protection. I'm going to thank you that you provide just like you did in the land of Goshen. And I thank you, Father God, that we're going to come out of all this mess.
Right.
Unscathed. We'll be fine. This nation's going to be fine. It just has to go through a little bit of shaking first.
Right. What's that saying that we love to say on our, in order to grow, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable.
Yep. Yep. The moment I get comfortable is when I need a nudge. I don't like being comfortable.
Yeah. I tell the Lord, I'm like, Lord, please correct me loudly and speedily and whatever you have to do to get my attention. And I'm telling you, he has done that several different times. And to get my attention. But honestly, when we're down on our knees and we are in a desperate situation and we're in a no-win situation, really, it looks like that's when God shows up. Mm-hmm. And even while I was reading yesterday in the scriptures, he was showing me that I was getting really excited about because I never, you know, read this in certain translations. And it was in Psalms. And he said, you know, light comes out of darkness. Well, mm-hmm. God's light destroys that darkness. So even when it looks like the world's darker, guys be like, I'm going to shine my light even brighter than it was before so more people can see it.
Absolutely.
So more people will come to him and come to the knowledge of him. Because when people are uncomfortable, guess what? They change their course of action. A lot of people, just like with 9/11, most horrendous day in this country's history.
Oh, I thought it was May 6.
Huh?
I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, I'm just saying they compared it to 9/11. Sorry, continue.
Ridiculous, but it was a bad day in our history because it was a day where people were destroyed and, you know, people were thrown in prison for nonsense and, whatever. But it was also to scare people and they have not gotten back up and fought. And I think that's what's discouraged me the most is because we are a great nation. And there's a lot of fighters in this nation. There's a lot of people who love this nation, but a lot of them have been intimidated by that day to not rise up again.
Agreed.
And it was a bad day in our history, but 9/11 really was a day. A lot of people ran to churches. They did, but the pastors were not prepared. They didn't give anything to help those people. And then they stopped going to church. God is preparing his church and his remnant right now to be prepared to receive these people. But there are plenty of teachers and there's plenty of pastors. There's plenty of churches that will not touch on any of this.
They won't.
And that's sad because there's going to be a lot of people, they're going to want to know God and maybe turn from him or not know him, but they're going to run to those churches. And we need to be prepared and pray that these churches are ready to receive the influx of people that are going to come in because they're guaranteed to show up.
Absolutely. And that's been a big thing for us too. That's been our biggest goal since the beginning is to make sure that Jesus always stays the center of what we believe of our show and everything. And he's the one that created us. He's the one that brings us together with people. And we know there is a time coming that if the churches aren't ready, we'll be ready. Yeah. For whoever wants to know more about. I mean, we cover a wide range of things, but in the end, Jesus is the most important thing to us, and it is up to him. And we see that for you as well, obviously. You've just done such an excellent job with everything over the years. So we appreciate everything you've done because it's been, we've learned a lot from you too.
I've learned a lot from you. It's all God. And I tell people that all the time. And, you know, taking somebody who was the way I was and to put me in this position is something that is very humbling. And you realize how powerful that he truly is because he takes somebody who was suicidal, he takes somebody who was depressed, took somebody who was, you know, anxiety and fearful stricken and who was sick and dying and gives you a worldwide ministry. And you're just like, why me? You know, and the thing is, that's because I turn everybody back to him. It's not me. It's definitely not me. It can't be me. What he's done in this ministry is not me. It's him. And that's why I want everybody to turn to him. I don't want people to say, well, Julie said it. No, I didn't say it. It might have come through my vocal cords. But truly, these revelations and these teachings, it's all from God. I'm learning while I'm speaking something. I'm like, oh, I never heard it like that. That is so cool. God, you're so awesome. And I'll write things down or whatever. I mean, because I didn't come up with it. It's him. And I tell people all the time, I'm not a writer. So these prophecies, I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried my really hardest. And then I've had generals be like, you know, reach out to people going, how does she have this intel? And well, I get the intel from God. It all turns back. People who turn them to themselves, that's ones you got to be careful. Mm-hmm. But it's the ones who turn people to the Lord because it is him. He is the key. He is the way. He is our life. He is our strength. He is our peace. He is our joy. People just need to start looking to him and not looking to man. And that's the reason why God had to set aside our president.
Yeah.
Because people were looking to him to save this nation. He can't. God can only repair and heal and fix this nation. It can't be a man. Nope. Election. Election can't do it either.
Nope. We don't understand
it. God can do this. How he's going to do it, I don't know. He just said it was a political reset. A reset means he's going to start from scratch.
Right there, we've contemplated different scenarios because with what we all feel coming, a culmination of all these events taking place, a climax, and then we have an election. And now, if that day comes, when that day comes, we'll be there voting. We'll be there voting. But is it going to be something different? Is it going to be? Is things going to drop to the point where maybe the Biden regime is removed prior, and we have a military type election? That's ran differently. We don't know, but we've seen that nothing's been changed over the last election system, over all the fraud that's been out there. Now we know God can, you know, do what he needs to do, like he did 2016. We know they cheated then too, but they weren't prepared for the overwhelming amount of people and support for Trump. So it's, who knows? I mean, there's so many questions still, but I do believe I trust God above all things. Mm-hmm. And I do believe he has this prepared for whatever is going to take place. And to fear not in the midst of it, because I do believe we can thrive in the midst of this chaos. And he has many different avenues of revenue for people. And it's just about putting that full faith in him. And that's something I had to learn to like really do the beginning of last year, was take that extra step of just putting everything in his hands. You know, it's been, and it's, we're still here. We're still here.
Still here.
Still here. Still here.
Isn't he good?
He is. He is. You know, Julie, last night we played a video from this young lady who was in Chicago at one of their town hall meetings. And, you know, people say that nothing's happening, that, you know, that our nation is lost. And like you said, they had to set Trump aside. You know, even Kim prophesied that, I will set him aside because in darkness, faith grows. Right. And this one, she said something in her 3-minute speech. She said that there is a thin line. We're all good people. Like, I think there's more good than bad. There, even people that might, they hate, you know, they've been told that to hate Trump and that to hate, you know, certain things. I don't think they're bad people. I think that the enemy has been very successful. They own the bullhorn. They own all the information. They own the money. It seems like it's this insurmountable odds that we're up against on a daily basis. But what I've witnessed over the last 3 years is more and more people, they are coming back. Their eyes are being opened because God is the one that's been showing us all this. This is the world that was around us the whole time. We just had a veil placed over our eyes. We had scales placed over our eyes by the enemy. But she said that there's a thin line between tolerance and cowardice. And that's where, see, as we are good people. We're good-natured people. And they know it. You don't think the enemy knows? They know. Mm-hmm. They know that we want to be the human spirit, that spirit that God breathed into us wants to be good, right? But our minds can be corrupted, and then they can usurp that spirit. So what I see, what has been happening, how we got into this mess in the first place, is that the enemy draws a line and we step back. Then they draw another line and we step back. And then another line and we step back. And we keep stepping back. And sooner or later, like when people say, how do we get out of this? You stop stepping back.
That's right.
That's how we do it. But there's no need for violence. You just stop stepping back. You stop letting them draw the lines. We draw the line. This is our world. God created it for us. This is his country. Our covenant is with him. And that's how that's what you're starting to see, is people are refusing to step back. Yep. And instead, they're stepping out and they're stepping up courageously. And we're using the greatest weapon that we have right now. And that is our voice.
Mm-hmm. And it's true.
It's a beautiful thing to watch. It's a beautiful thing to see. Like I find joy in the chaos because I see people finding that courage to step up and refuse to step back.
I love what you just said. We've been stepping back. And God's been telling us to dig in our heels and not be moved. And so the enemy keeps pursuing, because remember, that's what he did in the land of Egypt. He kept pursuing God's people over and over and over again. He would not relent. He would not give up. And then even he followed them to the Red Sea. So again, and then they're backed in a corner. They had nowhere to go. But God is saying, even though it looks like you have nowhere to go, you step forward. You dig in your heels and you do not back off. You do not quit. You do not give in. But you tell the enemy where to go. Because God is the one who's given us a power and authority in a minute. Even with David, when David knew against Goliath, he went toward when everybody else went away. And he was saying, God is going to deliver you into my hands today. Why? Because he knew that God was greater and God was bigger. And so where is that faith? Where is that confidence in God's people going, you know what? We don't care what you do, because you are not bigger than Almighty God. None of your resources, none of your mouthpieces, you are not bigger than God. And we're going to sit here and we're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're actually going to shout. We're actually going to get louder. You're telling us to shut up and you're cutting us up on all social media platforms because we're telling the truth. You don't like what we have to say? Well, get out of the way. Because God is on the move. And if we have that, you know, it's not being arrogant. That's being bold in the Lord and being bold in what he said he's going to do. He said, I hear the cries of my people and I will deliver them out of it all. And he says, I will. It's not maybe, it's I will deliver you. And so that's why I'm excited. I don't care what we see. I truly could tell you right now, the world could fall apart right now and I would not be changing my attitude.
Nope.
I wouldn't change what I say. I wouldn't change the direction. I wouldn't change because God doesn't change. And his word stands forever. And he's faithful to perform his word. So I just get excited. The more, like, we've had to cancel all of these different trips. Literally, had to cancel them out of nowhere. God said, no, don't go. And I'm like, okay, that's right, cool. All right, fine. But there's a reason for it. Because we're at that time where everything is going to change. And it may look bad, but God's saying, start to celebrate, start to shout, because he's got it all figured out. We're supposed to shout because God's got it all figured out.
That's right.
That's right. You know what? Off topic, but I've been following. I got my little ticker up right here. Silver. Silver just hit $26 an ounce. Mm-hmm. It's amazing watching. Speaking of God on the move, you're watching his money. They are doing everything they can to hold it back. And it's not. It doesn't work. It's not going to work. We've been talking about this for months on the show, that it would get to a point where they not be a, well, years. But lately we said it's going to get to a point where they won't be, that their tactics will not be able to hold it back anymore. And when it moves, and it's going to make a serious move, and that's when, you know, Bo has talked about it, when it takes off vertical, that's when you know God has intervened and things are about to get really cray cray.
Yeah, we bought some silver. I'm going to go buy some more. Again, silver is going to be worth more than gold. But God, again,
very possible. This one,
huh?
I said it's very possible.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will, because I think silver's priceless. Silver, you can do more things with silver than you can with gold. But the thing is what God said in his word. He says it more than once. The gold is mine. And the silver is mine.
That's right.
He said it. Then hey,
I just happen to have a few of your words about gold and silver up on my screen right now.
I'd say you'd have to tell me, because I don't even know exactly what it was.
one was gold and silver. They didn't want you to know the truth because they would lose their power and their economy. They're about to lose it all, my children. Just watch for the economy to fall and a new one to rise. Saith the Lord of hosts. There's another one. As markets begin to crash, watch gold and silver. Both will suddenly skyrocket before they be suppressed by man. To my United States of America, I said before, and I now say this again, you will go back to the gold standard.
Yep.
And it's actually, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, we were talking about something last night and we were thinking about it, because we all know at this point that the Federal Reserve it's not a U.S. entity. It's a private corporation, just like the IRS is, right? We all know this. And what's been happening behind the scenes, not only do we have 14 states that have legalized gold and silver as legal tender, but you have 23 other states that are in the process, have bills or legislation that is coming forth. And one of the big things that Alaska pointed out in their legislation is if the states can get behind this, if all the states, if the majority of states start to understand this, the Federal Reserve disappears. And it's that quick. So no one's talked about behind the scenes. All the states are getting gold and silver. Everybody is. And everybody but the Fed.
It was funny because I think the Lord had plenty of words on the Fed and the Federal Reserve and how they were never meant to be. And he was going to bring them down and annihilate them as if they never existed.
Good.
And he's also talking about the IRS, because people don't realize the tax system is a, it really is a bunch of junk. It was never meant to be this high. It is out of control because their spending is out of control. We were supposed to be at a 14% flat tax. Just think about this for a minute. Well, most people are over 30%. And we were supposed to be only at 14 flat. And we weren't supposed to get taxed on everything. Like, okay, say for instance, there's a death tax. So you already had all those people in your family. Like, say for instance, your parents, they die and they left you inheritance. Well, that money's already been taxed.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden you have a death tax. Now you're paying tax on it again.
Right.
And then if you go to use it, you're getting tax on it again. And it's funny how, if you think of a dollar and how many times a dollar can be taxed. It's pathetic. But again, and then they're giving it to our enemies. That should make any of us mad. They're right. giving our money to our enemies.
We're funding our that, own destruction.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the Biden regime. They've funded Ukraine's army. They funded the Taliban by giving them all the equipment.
Yep.
And Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. All three. We funded three nations' armies.
And Obama with ISIS.
Funneled
that. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And we've been doing that over the course of many years. People don't realize that we've had more fraudulent presidents than we've known. And it goes back beyond Obama. People think he was duly elected. Well, you can't be elected if you weren't a normal citizen of the state, of this country. If you weren't born here, you cannot be president. So that makes you fraudulent. And everything he did was fraudulent. Think about if God said there's a lot of presidents that were fraudulent, all the things that they did and all the laws that they passed would be fraudulent. Mm-hmm. They would be null and void.
It would be like he was never here.
It would be like he never was president. Everything that they did. And you got to think, we are a republic. They made us into a corporation illegally in the 1800s.
Yep.
That is never what God wanted. That was the start of the globalist regime making the country that you see today. So even when we were born, we're thinking we live in a free country. No, we didn't. We were under the illusion that we lived under a free country. But they let us have so many freedoms to appease us, but then all of a sudden, they want to start drastically taking them away. And that's when all of a sudden we're saying, oh my gosh, we're not a free country, what we weren't before. They just weren't making it blatantly obvious that we weren't free. They're starting all these wars. You know, and you think about, I mean, you guys were in military. A lot of my family was in military. And them fighting for our country and thinking about this for a minute. And I'm mad because what were they fighting for?
Yep.
Were they pawns? They were lied to, they were used, they were abused. You know, like I told you guys before, my grandfather never came home and he was 21 years old. And so it makes me very angry. That this is what all of us in this country should make anyone want to get up and make anyone want to get our country back for the lives of the servicemen and women, for the lives of so many people that fought for our country because they truly believed that we were a free country. They were fighting for our freedoms. And we need to stand up for those people that can't stand up anymore. We need to stand for the ones who did fight, like you guys. You guys are veterans. You guys fought for us. Well, now it's time for us to fight for you. Now it's time for us to say, you guys did your part. Now we're going to do our part. And now we're not going to let that go in vain of what all you guys fought for. This is the time that all of us in the country have to say, that is not going to happen. We are not going to lose our freedoms. We are not going to lose what this country stands for because a bunch of bureaucrats want to sit in our government when they weren't elected and have a heyday and do whatever they want.
Right.
We can't, as Christians, first and foremost, but we can't as American citizens think that's okay because it's not okay.
That was one of the hardest things for me. Waking up, you know, when me and Iz have talked about this before, when you have this certain ethos and this belief system and you realize that a lot of it was
a lie.
It was a lie. And, you know, I lost people that, you know, too young to die. And when you come to that realization that all of these wars that they start them, you know, rich people start them and then they send us to go fight. And it's about money. And when you find out you're funding both, we're doing it right now. We're funding both sides of a war. And when you really sit back and you figure that out, and, you know, I have the utmost respect for veterans because yes, we did. We just did what we thought we were supposed to be doing, what we, you know, we were fighting for, like you said, for freedoms. And then when you realize that you're not free, You are not free. You're given the illusion of freedom. And like, we are pawns. We're pawns in their sick little game. And yeah, that's why Iz and I believe that's why we were brought together. You know, many people were, is to stand up against it and stop it. Like, humanity can't continue down this path. This country can't continue down this path. When I see people go, let's just go back to normal. Well, what is normal? What is normal to you? You think that's not normal.
No.
That's why we're going through this now, because it was never normal. It was a lie. It was one big fugazi. And yeah, it's time to break free. Like, I want to see, I know what's on the other side. I know you've seen it, Julie. I know you know, as Kim would say, I see you in the future and you look much better than you do right now. And I know what's on the other side. So like you said too, I find joy in the chaos when all this happens. It's because I know we are heading towards the other side, and there will be a new definition for the word freedom.
Yep.
And we are going to experience it like never before. And some people, you know, we always tell, this is part of all of this, what we're going through is so God can build our character. So when we're handed the reins to that freedom, we know what to do with it.
That's right. And like you said, back to normal. That's like the Israelites saying, we want to go back to Egypt.
Yep.
Why? You were a slave. You were in bondage. Because that was their normal.
Yeah.
Their normal was being enslaved. Their normal was bondage. Their normal was being destroyed by the Pharaoh. But it was their normal.
Yeah.
And that's what's been going on with us. We've had this, I want to go back to normal. I want to have this normal life. And God's saying, that wasn't a normal I wanted you to know. That wasn't a normal, and that wasn't a freedom. You thought you were free, and he was showing us you were deceived into thinking that you were free. But he, like you said, he's going to show us a new definition of freedom and showing us, hey, this is what it truly meant to be free. And all those people that fought for this country, all those people, it was not in vain.
Nope.
It was not in vain. They fought for this country, and we are fighting for this country now. And this country is going to be a greater country because of it. It truly is. We are not going down in this flame of fire and just being destroyed by a corrupt, world elitist, global regime group of bureaucrats in our country.
Amen.
We're not. We are not. And I know there's tons of us. I know with all of you guys watching and, you know, us three. I mean, there's no way I would ever give in to that tyranny. No way. No how. I don't care if I took my life. I don't care. I would never bow down to them. I would never get into them. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, David, they didn't give into it, and we can't give into it either.
Right. Like, there's no putting us back in the box.
Mm-mm.
That you can't do it. We've seen too much now. Mm-hmm. Not going to do it.
Too much.
Exactly. I think I have that righteous indignation on the inside of me, and I'm not angry in a bad way. I'm angry in a good way, because I'm just like, Lord, I want to see your justice. You know, you said you sit in the heavens and laugh, and you destroy, you will literally cut off our enemies. You will destroy them. You will bring them to nothing as if they didn't exist. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking for. I cry out for justice. I want to see justice more than anything. I want to see our freedoms. I want to see people turn back to God. I want to see people free from the deception of thinking that everything is okay when it's really not. You know, I want freedom. And yes. So that's why I, you know, get up every day and do what I do, because I want not only for people to be free, but I want this nation to be free. I mean, finally free of all of this tyranny. So, I mean, I'm not going to quit until I see it. I know that for a fact. Right.
I know it's so funny. Sometimes people are like, oh, you guys are just, you know, you'll get comments like, you guys are just behind a mic. Da, 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 da. It's like, man, I left a good paying job to, spread the truth, like and you know, take a massive pay cut and all that stuff. But I'd rather do what God wants to do than stay in the materialistic side of things. So it's And over time, and not only in that, in this time, your faith increases, mm-hmm. and you start to see the provision of how he is really providing for you.
Yep.
And it's truly so good.
He wants to provide for us. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He is a provider. And just like, you know, when people don't want to get in impossible situations, and a lot of the times we are, and God's saying, well, why wouldn't you want to see me? I'm the God whom nothing is impossible. I'm El Shaddai. I show up in the impossible. So everywhere our enemy wants to drag us down, wants to push us down, and wants to get us to fall and not to get back up again, it says in Micah chapter 7, verse 8, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. And God is my light in the darkness. So if you think about all these other things that are going on, God's just saying, this is just more opportunities for me to show the world who I am.
Right.
I mean, really.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Yeah. We got to know for a fact that only God can do any of this. And that's why we should be excited, because we get to see God. If he said Red Sea like moments, and he said he's going to do, you know, something that no eye has ever seen, no ears ever heard, and he parted the Red Sea. Just think of what he's going to do for us.
Yes.
Mm. It's going to be great.
That is why I'm excited. I'm just like, good God, you're so cool. Like, I just want to see you do something. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is fun. It's fun to know God and to hear his words, but to see them come to pass the way they come to pass, and to see what he says is going to happen. And it does. And you're just like, it was different than I thought was going to happen. And it's just like, he's fun. He's fun to be around. He's fun to fellowship with, and he's fun to see work. So it should be a time to celebrate. No matter what we see, who cares? Who cares? We just know it's a defeat of our enemy.
Mm-hmm. We just gotta, you know, keep staying on the path of truth, keep going down it, and most importantly, put him first.
That's right.
Give all the thanks to him. You know, me and Chris, we say we're just a couple of guys. And it's the rest, whatever God wants to do, God's going to do. And that's really all I want. Mm-hmm. I get to the point where I'm like, all right, I literally pray about it. Like, make sure, like, I'm staying focused, mm-hmm. so I don't drift off into some, because that's not what we want. We've all been down that road, yeah. and it leads to nowhere but destruction and the flesh just, it'll eat you up. So it's staying in the word, staying in the, you know, awakening people each and every day. This is what we want to do, spread the truth. But this has been a lot of fun, Julie.
It's always fun with you guys. Thank you for having me on once again.
Yes. Absolutely. Before we get out of here, Chris, you got any last words you want to say?
No, you know, as always, Julie, God bless you. We love having you on here. It's always a great conversation. Yes. And I can't wait till the next time.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, and God bless each and every one of your viewers. And just know, keep your heads held high. God's in control. God wins and enemies lose. And we're about to see something really phenomenal that God's going to do on our behalf. So this is a great time to be alive. It's a blessing to be alive to see what God's going to do. So just don't be in fear, because we know that God is here.
Amen. Amen. And for those that, If this is your first time here at Alphabets, if you want to follow us, we do shows Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. For those that are wondering, this Thursday we will be on at 10 a.m. Central instead of our 6:30 p.m. Central time. So just a little time schedule change for this week. And we appreciate all of you for coming out. And again, thank you, Julie. You're a blessing as always. So we thank you once again.
Thank you for having me on. God bless you.
All right, guys. Talk to you later. Yeah.